जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Radha Gopinath, Radha Gopinath, Radhe. Jai Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Shri Gopal Jaya Shri Gopal Shri Gopal Jaya Shri Gopal Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jayom Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotar Sat His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Shri Gopalaji Ki Jai Shri Radhashtami Mahotsava Ki Jai Shrimati Radharani Ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees all glories, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Hare Krishna. So we'll sing this song, which is composed by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. It glorifies Srimati Radharani. It's called Sri Radhikashtaka.
The translation is too long to read, so we'll only chant the song. Vein Tutal.
Kumkumakta Kanchanabja Garvahari Gaurabha Pitananchitabja Gandha Kirti Nindi Saurabha. Vallavesha shuno sarva vanchitartha sadhika mahiyam atma pada padma dasya dastu radhika. Kauravinda kanti nindi chitrapatta shatika Krishna matta bringa keli phulla pushpa vatika. Krishna Nitya Sangamartha Padma Bandhu Radhika Mahiyam Atma Pada Padma Dasya Dastu Radhika. Saukumarya Srishta Palla Vali Kirti Nigraha Chandra Chandanot Palendu Sevya Shita Vigraha. Svabhimarsha Ballavesha Kamatapa Badhika Mahiyam Atma Pada Padma Dasya Dastu Radhika. Vishvavandya yovatabhi vandita piyarama rupanavya yovatabhi bhuvanadi sampadanayat sama. Shilahardalilayacha sayatostinadhika mayamatma padpadma dasyadasturadhika. Rasalasya Gita Narma Satkalali Pandita Premaramya Rupa Vesha Sadgunali Mandita. Vishvanavya Gopayoshit Alito Piyadhika Mahyamatma Padpadma Dasya Dasturadhika. Nityanavya Rupa Keli Krishna Bhava Sampada Krishna Raga Bandha Gopa Yovate Shukampada. Krishna Rupa Vesha Keli Lagna Sat Samadhika Mahyamatma Padpadma Dasya Dasturadhika. Svedakampakantakashru Gadgadadi Sanchita Marshaharshavamatadi Bhavabhushananchita. Krishna Netra Toshi Ratna Mandanali Dadhika Mahyamatma Padpadma Dasya Dastu Radhika. Yakshanardha Krishna Vipra Yoga Santa Todita Nikadainya Chapaladi Bhava Vrinda Modita. Yatna labdha Krishna sanga nigrata khiladhika mahyamatma pada padma dasya dastu radhika. Ashtakena yasvanena nauti krishna vallabham darshane pishaila jadi yoshidali durlabham. Krishna Sanga Nanditatma Dasya Sidhu Bhajanam Tam Karoti Nanditali Sanchayashu Sajanam.
श्रीमती राधा रानी की जय. आई विल जस्ट रीड द ट्रांसलेशन ऑफ द लास्ट लाइन विच इज नोन एज द फलश्रुति. दिस इज एन अष्टकम विच मीन्स देर आर एट वर्सेस बट यू विल नोटिस दैट देर इज अ नाइन्थ वन. सो दिस इज टिपिकली द पैटर्न. एट द एंड ऑफ द अष्टकम there is a verse that is known as Phalashruti, which means it is the benefit that one derives by singing this song. So the translation of the Phalashruti, hear carefully. It is very difficult for Parvati and other exalted goddesses to attain even a glimpse of Srimati Radharani, who is dear to Lord Krishna. But if someone glorifies her by reciting these eight verses, then she who is delighted by Krishna's continuous association will grant the sweet nectar of her personal service to that person who thereby enters the assembly of her similarly delighted girlfriends. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Kurave Namaha. శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురుః శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాం సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమో ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్నితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ సింధుభ్య ఏవచ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. Thank you very much for coming this evening to the Sri Radhashtami festival. This is the appearance day of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is not easy to understand, and for that matter, neither is Sri Krishna. But by their mercy, we may be able to understand a little drop of that nectarian ocean that can otherwise be called as Radha Krishna. In this day and age, as you know, people's thinking has changed from the traditional. So people become very challenging when it comes to established norms and ways of thinking. One time when I was traveling in a train, and this is one of my favorite anecdotes, I was reading a book, Prabhupada's book, with Krishna on the cover. And as I was reading, the person sitting in front of me was naturally seeing the picture of Krishna. And that person happened to be a lady. And later I learned that she was a professor. So one time when I put the book down for something, and she got the chance, and she opened the conversation with some gunfire. And the first thing she asked me, even before we had introduced each other or had any pleasantries, she said, "Why does God have to be a man?" So I could immediately understand where she was coming from. So you see, discretion is the better part of valor. We should know when to fight and when not to fight. So when I was confronted with her fiery temperament, I decided to retreat as a strategic move. And I said, "You know, madam, it's not my fault." Now, God is what He is. God is God. What can I do? See, if God is a male, is it something that I have done? Have I made God what He is today? And then, of course, she had many things to say after that. And then gradually, when she was a little calmer, and we had an interesting group of people who were now wanting to hear what was going on, so I saw, well, maybe it's a good opportunity to preach. So then I spoke about Krishna and about the conceptions of the Absolute Truth. There is such a stereotyped conception of God that when people come to Krishna consciousness, or they try to understand who Krishna is or who Srimati Radharani is, they often misunderstand things, and there are so many misconceptions as a result of that. What is the absolute truth? The absolute truth is one without a second. The absolute truth is He who is the origin of everything. So she, see, again you use all these masculine pronouns, he. So why does absolute truth have to be a he? Why not a she? She then started talking about the Shaktas who worship Shakti. Kali, Chandi, Durga. So these are all Shaktis. So I said, you use the word Shakta. So Shakta comes from Shakti. And where does Shakti come from? Is Shakti something independent? Doesn't Shakti come from a source? Doesn't light come from a tube light or a bulb or from the sun or from some source? Doesn't heat come from some source? Doesn't any form of energy come from some source? So the moment you say Shakti, you immediately understand that there will be a Shaktiman, a source of that energy. So when you say Kali or Durga or Chandi, they are Shakti and there are people who worship the Shakti. So the next question is, who is the source of those Shaktis, of those energies? That is the question. So there is Prakriti, that is the energy which is feminine in gender, and there is Shaktiman, who is masculine in gender. So the fact of the matter is that because the absolute truth is the source of everything, and that is how we define the absolute truth, Srila Prabhupada distinguishes between the word God and the word absolute truth. In a sense, when you understand it right, then absolute God is the absolute truth. But because people have so many false and strange conceptions of God, so it is necessary to make a distinction. Even in most religions of the world, the conception of God is merely limited to one who is the supreme controller of everything. But the absolute truth is much more than being simply a controller. He is also the supreme enjoyer. He is also the source of everything that exists. So therefore, absolute truth needs to be defined properly. And that is what the Srimad Bhagavatam does. It defines the absolute truth as He who is the origin of everything. Everything that exists within our experience and outside our experience comes from Krishna, the supreme absolute truth, the summum bonum. All dualities of this material world get reconciled in the absolute. That is the difference between absolute and relative. Relative means that it changes. You see it with reference to something else. So when you say in this world somebody is a male, then you distinguish the male from the female. So being a male in this world is relative to somebody who is a female. So if everybody in this world was a male, then there would be no question of a male and a female, then everybody would be just one. But that is not the case. So everything here is relative. Our existence is relative. Our experiences are relative. With regard to space, with regard to time, with regard to circumstances. So this is a relative world. The universe also exists for some time and then is destroyed. It is again created, again destroyed. So the world that we live in is a very relative world. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes that beyond this relative world is an absolute world, the spiritual world, where everything eternally exists, where things are never created and where things are never destroyed. Everything simply exists and exists in the greatest of bliss. That is the spiritual world. So in that absolute spiritual world, yes, there are genders, there are gopis and there are gopas, there are cows and there are bulls, there are female peacocks and peahens as well. So these genders exist, but on an absolute platform, they are all one. In a spiritual way, from a spiritual point of view. Since everything emanates from the absolute truth, he must include everything that is in his creation. Otherwise, how can he be the source of everything? How can the absolute truth be something that is beyond his creation? Because there is nothing beyond his creation. And how can something exist in his creation which is not in him? So we see males in this material world. Therefore, the absolute truth must be a male. But now your immediate question will be, we also see females. So then female gender must also exist in the absolute truth. And the answer is, yes. The absolute truth is Krishna and Srimati Radharani together. One absolute truth. From Krishna comes Srimati Radharani. Krishna is the Shaktiman, Radharani is the Shakti or the energy. So the supreme male Krishna and the supreme female Srimati Radharani are always together and they are one without a second. So the absolute truth is both male as well as female. Because when you understand, for example, the sun, then you understand the sun along with the sunshine. It does not make sense to understand the sun globe alone without the sunshine. What kind of sun is it if it doesn't have sunshine? And you can't separate the sunshine from the sun also. If you have only the sunshine, the question arises, where does the sunshine come from? So naturally, we have to take the sun along with the sunshine, and together these two constitute the sun. Similarly, Radha and Krishna together constitute the absolute truth. But nevertheless, there is also a difference because the sun is the origin of the sunshine. Similarly, Krishna is the origin of Srimati Radharani, but the two exist eternally, simultaneously. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains very nicely, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Ladini Shakti Rasmat Ekatmanavapi Bhuvi Pura Deha Bhedam Gatautau Chaitanyakhyam Prakatam Aduna Tadvayam Chaikyamaptam Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. He explains that Radha Krishna Pranaya, the love that goes on between the loving dealings between Radharani and Krishna, are not the ordinary dealings between a man and a woman in this world. They are the transformation of something very sublime, and that is called the Hladini Shakti. The Hladini Shakti is called the bliss potency of the Absolute Truth Krishna. The bliss potency means that shakti, that potency, that energy of the Supreme Lord by which he experiences unlimited, inconceivable, transcendental happiness. So this is spiritual energy. It is not the energy of this world. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Ladinir Shakti Rasmat. So the loving exchanges that happen between Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna are not to be compared to the dealings between an ordinary or even an extraordinary man and woman of this world. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says something very extraordinary. Ek atmanau api bhuvi pura deha bhedam gatautau. He says Radharani and Krishna are ek atmanau, which means they are one. But when they appear in this world, deha bhedam gatautau, then they appeared as two. So Radha and Krishna are one identity. They are actually one entity. The one supreme absolute truth. The combination of the energetic and the energy. But Srila Prabhupada explains very nicely at one place that when the supreme absolute truth Krishna wishes to manifest his pleasure potency, then he becomes two. And Prabhupada says, then he seems to become two. He seems to become two means that it appears that there are two distinct, independent entities. Yes, they are entities, they are distinct, but they are not independent of each other. Inasmuch as the energy and energetic are not independent of each other. So this is the beauty of this conception of the Absolute Truth. Being one complete whole. So all possible dualities and opposites in this world get reconciled in Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth. He is the smallest of the smallest. He is the largest of the largest. He is the lightest of the light. He is the heaviest of the heavy. Whatever contradictions you may think of, whatever opposites and dualities you may think of in this world, all can be reconciled in the Supreme Absolute Truth. And therefore, those who feel bad that God is a male, here is some heartwarming news. God is also female. Srila Prabhupada at one point says, Radharani is the tender-hearted feminine counterpart of Krishna. Counterpart. They are one. But because of the need for exchanging transcendental bliss, Krishna expands his ananda or bliss potency, which is called the Ladini Shakti. And then Srimati Radharani manifests. And then the two exchange transcendental pleasure. Srimati Radharani further expands herself unlimitedly, and so does Krishna. And in this way, the entire existence, both in the spiritual world as well as in the material world, is only for the sake of expanding this transcendental loving bliss. In this material world, of course, we are so much under the clutches of Krishna's inferior potency, the Mahamaya, that we forget the existence even of that higher spiritual bliss, that potency. Because we are so enamored and captivated by the lower bliss, the so-called bliss of this world, that we forget that there is real bliss. And the very personification and the embodiment of that bliss of the Absolute Truth is Srimati Radharani. So when we want to experience real bliss, we have to take shelter of the personification of that bliss, Srimati Radharani. And what is that bliss? That bliss is love. And what is that love? Devotional service, bhakti. So Srila Prabhupada explains very nicely that devotional service to Krishna in its stage of perfection, ultimate perfection, is love. The highest love. And that highest love in its most condensed form is bliss. And that is the Ladini Shakti. So there is no difference between bliss and love. But on the spiritual platform, but on the material platform, there is a gulf of difference. Don't believe what the movies tell you. Don't believe what the many poets in the past tell you. If they're materialistic poets, of course. Because the loving affairs, or the so-called loving affairs of this world, will always end in bitterness. There is never an exception. Even if lover and beloved do not quarrel in this world, ultimately they will die. And when death comes, then that relationship is terminated. There is so much bitterness. But in that love, which is found only in the spiritual world, there is eternal happiness, eternal love, love that will never be bitter. So Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani descend into this world to teach us that there is such a love. Do not simply try to look for that love in this material world, because it doesn't exist. Look for the real love that is found on the spiritual platform, in the absolute truth. Therefore we worship Radha and Krishna together. We don't worship only Krishna, and we don't worship only Srimati Radharani. We worship Radharani and Krishna together, because they are one. And then Kaviraj Goswami says that now those two entities, Radha and Krishna, who were originally one and then they became two for the sake of exchanging transcendental bliss, have now become one again. Chaitanyakhyam prakatamaduna tadvayam chaikyamaptam. So those two, Radha and Krishna, have become one. They have become one in the personality of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Radha Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, nahe anya. So this is the mystery of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we want to understand Krishna, and indeed if we want to understand, then we have to go through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore for us, the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very, very important. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us that Srimati Radharani, being the feminine counterpart of Sri Krishna, is eternally his consort. And just as Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he expands himself unlimitedly into so many different forms of Godhead, like Vishnu, Narayan, Janardhan, Trivikram, Narsimha, Ram, Vamana, Matsya, and so on. Similarly, Srimati Radharani also expands herself unlimitedly to accompany these different forms of Godhead, who are expansions of Krishna, as their respective consort. So therefore, along with Sri Ramachandra, you will find Sita Devi. Along with Lord Narayan, you will find Lakshmi Devi. Along with Dwarkadhish Krishna, you will find Rukmini or Satyabhama. So Srila Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that Srimati Radharani is the Adi Shakti, the original Shakti or energy of the Absolute Truth. And she is the one who is the origin of all the gopis in Vrindavan. She is also the origin of all the Lakshmis who reside in the Vaikuntha planets, who are the consorts of the different expansions of Lord Narayan, the four-handed form of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is also the origin of all the queens of Sri Krishna in Dwarka. And because these consorts are the energy of Krishna, therefore they are mentioned first. So we say Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan, Rukmini Dwarkadhish. Because the energy comes first. You can approach the energetic only through the energy. So Srila Prabhupada at one place, he explains that Srimati Radharani therefore is the medium for transmitting our devotional service to Krishna. And she is the actual personification of devotional service, because there is no difference between devotional service and bliss. So Srimati Radharani is the highest perfection and personification of pure devotional service. So when we render devotional service to Krishna, it is actually Srimati Radharani who is offering it to Krishna. Srimati Radharani says, "Oh, here is a devotee of ours in Chaupati. Now I must recommend this devotee's case to my Lord." And then she sends in the application. And then our future is made. Because Radharani has recommended us to Krishna. You see, here also everything goes by recommendation. And in casual words, we call it differently. We call it pull, we call it jack, we call it, you know, influence, we call it contacts, we call it networking. We call it different words. It's a perverted reflection of the pull that you need to reach Krishna. So even to reach Krishna, you need some pull, you see, some influence. So don't become too disheartened when you see that everyone in society, everything is going on the basis of pull and push. And who is the one that will do this pulling for us? That is Srimati Radharani. So Srila Prabhupada says, therefore, devotees in Vrindavan place themselves under the control and shelter of Srimati Radharani to attain the favor of Krishna. And then Radharani recommends, and Krishna is pleased. Krishna cannot deny Srimati Radharani's request. And what does it mean to place oneself under the control of Srimati Radharani? Srila Prabhupada explains, the spiritual master is the representative of Srimati Radharani. In the purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says this. So therefore, by serving the orders of the spiritual master, one serves and pleases Srimati Radharani. And then Srimati Radharani will take in our application to Krishna and say, Krishna, please, this devotee has served his spiritual master or her spiritual master very nicely, so please bestow your mercy upon this devotee. And Krishna says, yes, immediately. So this is how Krishna consciousness works. Srimati Radharani, as the personification of devotional service, therefore, is known as the topmost worshipper of Krishna. The word Radha comes from the word Aradhana. The word Aradhana means worship. So, from the word Aradhana is drawn out the word Radha, which means she who excels all in the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. one who is unexcelled, unparalleled, one without a second, in terms of worshipping and serving Sri Krishna and pleasing Him, that is Srimati Radharani. She is the ultimate pinnacle, the acme, the perfection of devotion. Nobody can serve Krishna like Srimati Radharani can. It is not possible. But Srimati Radharani can bless us, certainly, to become pure devotees. Sometimes the question is asked that if Radharani is so important for us, and she is the eternal consort of Krishna, and without her mercy and blessings we cannot approach Krishna, then why do we not find a mention of Srimati Radharani in the Srimad Bhagavatam? The fact of the matter, as Srila Prabhupada explains in his purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is that Srimati Radharani's name is mentioned in many Puranas directly. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned indirectly. And we'll recite this particular verse in which Srimati Radharani's name is mentioned indirectly. Why is it mentioned indirectly? Why not directly? Why is everything so complicated in devotional life? It's not. The answer is that Srimad Bhagavatam was being spoken by Srila Shukadev Goswami, the great exalted pure devotee of the Lord. Now, there was a crisis at hand. The crisis was that the great King Parikshit had been cursed to die in only 7 days. And Parikshit Maharaj wanted to hear Krishna Katha from Shukadev Goswami. As he sat on the bank of the Ganga, he asked many assembled sages who had hurried to that place having heard about the impending demise of Parikshit Maharaj, and they knew that something very monumental and historic was going to happen, and Srimad Bhagavatam was going to be spoken. So they all came there from different parts of not only the earth, but also the entire universe. Many sages gathered there, and Parikshit Maharaj asked the question, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? And different sages answered differently. King Parikshit was confused, which is the right answer? And right at that time, by the Lord's arrangement, came Shukadev Goswami. Everyone rose. Immediately upon seeing Shukadev Goswami, they understood, here is a person who is just qualified to answer the questions of King Parikshit. They gave him an exalted seat, the Vyasasana, to sit on, even though Vyasadev himself was present at that place, along with even Vyasadev's guru, Narad Muni. And Shukadev Goswami then immediately answered the question of Parikshit Maharaj and began speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam. In that assembly, there were many, many sages of different types of spiritual disposition. Some were jnanis, some were yogis, some were renunciants, some were devotees of one type, some devotees of another type. So all manner of transcendentalists were present at that spot. And an expert preacher like Shukadev Goswami accomplishes, just like Krishna does, many objectives with one action. So in preaching to King Parikshit, Shukadev Goswami also wanted to deliver and benefit the other assembled sages who may not have been pure devotees of the Lord. So he had to speak many things, including descriptions of the universal form, including different types of yoga, And considering that King Parikshit had a short time to live, why would Shukadev Goswami do that? Because he was building up his case. Slowly he was lifting the consciousness of the assembled people to come to the platform of the 10th canto and specifically to the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. And for that he had to actually complete 9 cantos in which he also spoke about the different incarnations of the Lord. And finally, by the time the 10th canto was begun, it was very late. And Shukadev Goswami did not have much time. So he had to condense it in a fairly short time. But nevertheless, he spoke at fair amount of detail about his pastimes in Vrindavan. Even though he spent only about 10 years of his life, 10 and a half years of his life in Vrindavan, Shukadev Goswami spent a great deal of many chapters in describing these pastimes, almost 40 chapters. Almost half the entire 10th canto. Even though Krishna spent less than 10% of his manifest pastimes in Vrindavan, but he devoted more than almost 50% of the 10th canto to the Vrindavan Leela. Now, Shukadev Goswami being a Rasika Bhakta. A Rasika Bhakta means one who relishes the devotional mellows in Krishna consciousness. He understood that if he were to mention the name of Radharani, then he would immediately go into ecstatic trance. And probably he would become externally unconscious for days on end. And where was the time? If Shukadev Goswami were to go into ecstatic trance, Shukadev Parikshit Maharaj would be waiting, what happened here? And he is about to leave his body, so Shukadev Goswami didn't have that luxury of experiencing ecstatic symptoms on chanting Radharani's name. So he decided that it is better I don't mention Radharani's name directly. Because if I do, then I will not be able to do my service. My service right now is to speak about Krishna to King Parikshit especially and also to the others. So therefore this is an important principle in our devotional service. Our seva is more important than our ecstasy, our happiness. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would always say, it is more important to serve Krishna than to want to see Him. It is more important to try to please Krishna than to try to be pleased by virtue of rendering devotional service. So Shukadev Goswami, therefore, spoke the name of Srimati Radharani only indirectly. So let us chant this very, very nice verse from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 30, entitled The Gopis Search for Krishna. Anaya aradhitah nunam bhagavan harihi ishvarah yat nah vihaya govindah pritah yam anayat rahah. Anaya radhito nunam bhagavan harishvarah yanno vihaya govindah
प्रीतो यामन यद्रह अनयाराधितो नूनम् भगवान हरिरीश्वरः यन्नो विहाय गोविन्दः प्रीतो याम अनयद्रहः.
So please wait till I finish, alright? Anayaradhito
nunam Bhagavan Haririshwaraha Yanno Vihaya Govindaha Prito Yam Anayadraha.
Yes, two Prabhujis and two Matajis chanting, please.
Anayaradhito nunam Haririshwaraha Yam anayadraha अनयाराधितो नूनम् भगवान् हरिरीश्वरः यन्नो विहाय गोविन्दः प्रीतोयाम् अनयद्रहः. अनयाराधितो नूनम् भगवान् हरिरीश्वरः विहाय गोविन्दः प्रीतोयाम् अनयद्रहः. अनयाराधितो नूनम् भगवान् हरिरीश्वरः यन्नो विहाय गोविन्दः याम् अनयद्रहः.
Translation: This is spoken by the gopis about Srimati Radharani. Certainly, this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Purport. I'll just read the first few lines of the purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that the word Aradhitaha refers to Srimati Radharani. He comments, "The sage Shukadev Goswami has tried with all endeavor to keep her name hidden, but now it automatically shines forth from the moon of his mouth. That he has spoken her name is indeed her mercy. And thus the word Aradhitaha is like the rumbling of a kettle drum sounded to announce her great good fortune." Although the gopis spoke as if jealous of Srimati Radharani, they were actually ecstatic to see that she had captured Sri Krishna. So this is the word Aradhitaha, worshipped. Anaya means by her. So because Krishna is worshipped in the best possible way by Srimati Radharani, so therefore Srimati Radharani is called Radha or Radhika. So Shukadev Goswami couldn't avoid it, he had to make some mention somewhere. In many places he just said, the gopis said, and so on. But here he couldn't resist it. But he didn't want to go all the way. So he made an indirect reference to Srimati Radharani in this way. So Srimati Radharani has to be understood through Mahaprabhu and his followers like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and so on. Then we can understand the Radha Krishna Tattva. It is a very exalted subject, and very often it is misunderstood. Many times when people ignorantly criticize Krishna for his Rasa Leela, they do not recognize or acknowledge or understand that these dealings are on the spiritual platform. One time, Srila Prabhupada gave an analogy to explain the dealings of Sri Krishna with Srimati Radharani and with the other gopis. He said one time there was a cow who was in a goshala, and somehow, unfortunately, the goshala caught fire. So the cow became terrified and ran helter-skelter, immediately escaped from that fire. However, thereafter, there was such a psychological impact on that cow that whenever she saw anything red in color, she immediately ran away from that place, thinking that this was also fire. So Srila Prabhupada explains that in this world, we have some conception of the male-female relationship. And when we see Radha and Krishna together, then we superimpose that material conception of the male-female relationship on Radha and Krishna, and think that just as there are male-female relationships here, so also there is the same kind of male-female relationship must exist between Radharani and Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada explains that that is not the case. The relationship between Krishna and Srimati Radharani is one that is on the highest platform of the purest love. It is based on completely selfless, pure love. It is not to be found in this world. When people hear this, they say, well, all right, let us grant you that. But then please tell us, why does Krishna have to consort with Radharani, who is somebody else's wife? Now, that is another controversial subject that comes up. And therefore people who do not understand these subtle topics and have not learned these topics under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master coming in the proper disciplic succession, so they develop these misunderstandings. Now let me give a simple example or an illustration to help us understand this point of Krishna dancing Rasa Leela with Srimati Radharani, even though she has a husband. What is her husband's name? Abhimanyu. So let us imagine that there is a couple, Mr. A and Mrs. A. And they are a very happy, nice couple together. Now they decide to participate in a drama. And in that drama, they have to play some roles. And Mrs. A, in that drama, plays the wife of another man. And Mr. A plays the role of the paramour of Mrs. A, who, in the drama, is somebody else's wife. Are you following me? You're with me so far? Okay. Now, what happens is that in the drama, to make it more exciting, sometimes Mrs. A, who is in the drama the wife of somebody, she steals away from home and meets up with Mr. A, who is not in the drama her husband, but is actually her real husband. And the drama focuses a lot on the dealings between Mr. A and Mrs. A. And then somebody criticizes and says, just see, they are not married, but they are sitting together. She is married to somebody else. But the fact of the matter is that the two of them are actually happily married. This is just a drama that is going on, in which apparently Mrs. A is married to another man. But actually Mrs. A has no contact with the other man. It's just a drama on the stage. So similarly, Srimati Radharani is the eternal consort of Krishna. And in order to make the loving dealings between Radha and Krishna more relishable, there is a drama that is being enacted. In this drama, Srimati Radharani is married to somebody, and that person's name is Abhimanyu. And all the gopis in Srimati Radharani's age group are also married to their respective so-called husbands. So Srila Prabhupada calls them so-called husbands. And the acharyas explain, and Srila Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book as well, that these gopis never had contact with their so-called husbands. And these gopis were in their spiritual bodies. So when Srimati Radharani is with Krishna, she is actually with her real husband, so to speak. Of course, this word wife and husband is actually only meant for us in this world. Because it is here, this kind of situation, these rules and regulations are imposed for us because it is so important for us. Because we cannot transcend matter and reach the platform of spirit until we have followed these regulations and performed devotional service properly. So Srimati Radharani is actually always with Krishna. And this pastime, this drama is called the pastime. Just imagine that in the case of Mr. A and Mrs. A, imagine that the drama is always going on. Then you understand what is Krishna's pastime with Srimati Radharani. What is the meaning of the word pastime? Srila Prabhupada explains it very nicely. When Krishna thinks that he is a cowherd boy, that is his pastime, Prabhupada explains. So pastime is something that Krishna thinks. Ontologically, it's a big word. The word ontology means actually in fact, in reality. In reality, Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth. He is the most powerful controller of all controllers. But in rasa, in mellow, in the thinking, in the pastime or the drama that goes on the transcendental platform, Sri Krishna remains always subservient to Srimati Radharani. He is under the control of Srimati Radharani. So this is going on eternally. So Krishna imagines himself to be a cowherd boy eternally. So tattva and rasa are mixing always. Eternally they are there, moving along parallelly. So just as if this drama of Mrs. A, Mr. A, and the so-called husband of Mrs. A in the drama, this is going on all through the life of Mrs. and Mr. A. Imagine that Mrs. and Mr. A are 24 hours living like this. So similarly, the pastimes of Sri Krishna with Srimati Radharani can be understood in this way. This is a very crude analogy, but I think it conveys the point. So even morally, there is nothing objectionable. And furthermore, since Srimati Radharani is non-different from Krishna himself, and is Krishna's internal potency, so when Sri Krishna is with Srimati Radharani, he is not enjoying anything separate from himself. He is not enjoying anything or anyone outside of himself. Therefore, there can be no objection. But in this world, whatever we try to enjoy is outside of ourselves. Whatever we want to enjoy is not our property. Therefore, we have no right to enjoy it. But for Krishna, that is not the case. So it needs so much philosophy or philosophical understanding for people to come to the point of understanding Radharani and Krishna's interactions or dealings in the proper way. In Vrindavan, Radharani and her so-called husband, so-called mother-in-law, Jatila, and her sister-in-law, Kutila, Jatila, the very name, very crooked. So it makes the pastimes more exciting, more relishable. And sometimes Krishna performs very funny pastimes. That is Golok Vrindavan, full of fun and laughter, full of happiness. One time, Krishna wanted to see Srimati Radharani, but Jatila and Kutila were always like watchmen standing 24 hours on guard to ensure that Radharani does not meet Krishna. Jatila and Kutila would always be suspicious that Radharani was meeting with Krishna. So they would be very watchful. And Krishna knew that. So one time, he impersonated Abhimanyu. For Krishna is not difficult because he is all powerful. He can do anything. So he assumed the form of Abhimanyu, the so-called husband of Srimati Radharani. And he entered the house and he went in with Srimati Radharani. And Jatila and Kutila thought Abhimanyu has come. And later on the real Abhimanyu came. And at that time Jatila and Kutila, they saw him and they said, "Oh, here is the imposter. Here is that black snake who has come." So they picked up a broomstick and began to beat the real Abhimanyu. And Abhimanyu was shouting for help. So these are the funny pastimes that happen in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan. So therefore we can see that everything is so sublime. And it is such a tragedy, even greater tragedy than India losing the test matches in England, that people misunderstand this very sublime relationship and this sublime topic in such a gross way. They drag these sublime relationships down to the world of Mahamaya. But of course, by faithfully and sincerely rendering devotional service in the association of sincere devotees under the guidance of the proper Guru Parampara, one can come to the point of appreciating and understanding what Radha Krishna really is or are. Today is Srimati Radharani's birthday. Like Krishna, the word birth is not appropriate for her appearance. Just as Krishna appears and disappears, similarly Srimati Radharani also appears and disappears. When Sri Krishna told Srimati Radharani in Goloka Vrindavan that I want to descend into the material world, so please come with me, she said, "Yes, but I will not want to see anybody else except you the moment I appear." So Krishna says, "No problem, but you come." So as Krishna appeared in Mathura and was transferred to Gokul, Srimati Radharani appeared in Raval, which is very close to Gokul. There are many pastimes that explain the appearance of Srimati Radharani. I will explain one very briefly. One time, Vrishabhanu Maharaj, the king of that area, Raval, went to the river Yamuna and he was struck with wonder to see a most extraordinary sight. There was a golden lotus that was very large, that was 1,000-petaled. And in the whirl of that lotus that was floating in the Yamuna, there was a beautiful golden complexioned baby. And Vrishabhanu Maharaj didn't have any progeny. So he lifted this baby girl in wonder and brought her back to his wife, Kirtida Devi. And she was also overjoyed. And they said, yes, now the Lord has sent us a daughter. Now she was extremely beautiful to look at. But there was only one problem, that she wouldn't see. Her eyes were closed. She would not open her eyes. It seemed also that she couldn't hear anything. Also, she refused to speak anything. So even though they were overjoyed to receive this child, but that joy was also mixed with the sorrow of this girl apparently being deaf, dumb and blind. Exactly at that time, Sri Narad Muni arrived there. Narad Muni knew that the moment Krishna appears, Radharani will not be far behind, that she will also be somewhere. So he went into all the homes in Braja. Have you had a birth of any child recently? In most places they said no. In some places they said yes, and it was a boy. He said, no. In some places they said, yes, it was a girl. But when he saw the child, he didn't have any ecstatic symptoms. So he said, no, not this one. Finally, he came to the house of Vrishabhanu Maharaj. He said, I've heard that you have had a baby daughter. So Vrishabhanu Maharaj was also very overjoyed to see Narad Muni coming. And then he placed the baby girl in the lap of Narad Muni. And of course there are varying accounts of what happened thereafter. In one account, Narad Muni was struck with wonder to see the beauty of this girl and immediately understood that this is none other than Srimati Radharani. He asked Vrishabhanu Maharaj to step out of the room. He closed the doors. And then he offered his prostrated obeisances to this baby girl. And he began to glorify her in so many wonderful ways. And Srimati Radharani, being pleased with him, manifested her eternal Kishori form. Kishori means the eternal, one who is a youth. Krishna is Kishore and Radharani is Kishori. And both Krishna and Srimati Radharani exist eternally in their adolescent forms in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. So Srimati Radharani showed Narad Muni her eternal form in Goloka Vrindavan, which is of a young girl of roughly 14 years of age. And Sri Krishna's age eternally in Goloka Vrindavan is roughly 15 to 16 years of age. They are always at that age. So when Narad Muni saw that, he couldn't tolerate it. He couldn't tolerate the bliss. He fainted with ecstasy. He came to external consciousness, and by the time he saw Srimati Radharani smiling very indulgently on him and blessing him. And he understood this was a signal that now he has to move. So he then got up, opened the door, by which time Srimati Radharani was back in the form of the baby girl. And then he began to glorify the great fortune of Vrishabhanu Maharaj. With great difficulty keeping his ecstatic symptoms in check, Narad Muni somehow or the other staggered to Govardhan, where he sat near the Kusum Sarovar, and that place today is still called Narad Kund. Narad Muni sat there and meditated upon Srimati Radharani and Krishna. And then the festival took place. Many, many people, everyone in Braja was invited. And Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda came with baby Krishna. When the festivities were going on below, baby Krishna climbed or rather crawled upstairs unnoticed by the others, and then he crawled up to Srimati Radharani who was lying there, and as soon as he climbed up, Srimati Radharani smelled the fragrance of Sri Krishna's body and understood Krishna has come. And then Krishna put his baby hands on top of Srimati Radharani's eyes, and then Srimati Radharani opened her eyes. And then she beamed. He gave a beaming smile. And just at that moment, Kirtida Devi also happened to come in. And then she saw that Krishna had placed his tiny hands over her eyes, and now her daughter was able to see and hear and speak, and she was overjoyed. And then she declared to everybody that because of Krishna, now our daughter is able to see and hear and speak, so they will always be together. And Mother Yashoda was also very, very happy to hear this benediction. So this transcendental appearance of Srimati Radharani happened on this tithi, on this day, the Ashtami, the eighth day in the bright fortnight, Shukla Paksha, in the month of Bhadra. So on the eighth tithi, Krishna was also born, so we call it Janmashtami. On the eighth tithi, Radha Kund also appeared. And on the eighth tithi, Radharani also appeared. So this day is very, very important and auspicious for all of us. We can pray to the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani that she may kindly bless us with even an atom of pure devotion. That if she keeps us always at her shelter of her lotus feet, then our life will become successful. Thank you very much. Srimati Radharani ki jai. Shri Radhashtami Mahotsav ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I believe at 8:30 we have the arati, right? Yes?